And now it's time for Shelf Life, news from the Wichert Stouffville Public Library, with your host, librarian Catherine Sword.
Hello, everyone, and today I have a guest, Jim Scott, who is a poet, and I'm going to not quite jump in yet. I'm laughing because we have Volume 3, which is the Book of Poetry, and it's published before Volumes 1 and 2. So all you listeners out there who come in and read the book and wonder, okay, where are the first two? They're coming, aren't they?
They're coming, for sure.
That's right. And the first two are more memoir, if I'm not mistaken.
They both contain 25 short stories, as well as some poems. And they're all true stories from my somewhat wayward life.
Yes.
And the first one's global. The second one is more focused on my life in the Caribbean and my sailing years.
Yes, that's right. Could you give us a little bit of your background? Because I've got a feeling when we get into the poems that you're going to draw from a wide range of experience.
I've been traveling more or less since I was 17. I left school relatively early, didn't do college or university. I went to sea instead. And that sort of whetted my appetite for what was out there in the big wide world. And when my career was sort of bogged down in the Merchant Navy, I decided to come ashore and try it on land, but I just kept wandering and wandering and wandering and ended up back on the boats again, skippering yachts, chartering yachts, delivering yachts. Sometime on land, I worked on farms in Africa, for example. Longest I lived anywhere was in the Caribbean.
Okay.
And
land?
Well, on land and sea. I skippered boats there and
nice.
Skippered a big research vessel, which was an interesting story too.
Okay.
And also traveled. I based in the Caribbean, but I traveled to South America and different places. And I just kept on taking every opportunity, looking for any excuse I could to go somewhere I'd never been before and do something I'd never done before.
Now, while you're traveling, are you being inspired to write poetry, or has that come to you later in life?
I've been writing poetry, I think, since the day I started traveling. I think traveling just lends itself to that. It's my poems are drawn from experience, and experience is what traveling is all about. It's the most wonderful means of gaining experience that any young person, or not so young person, can get, I think.
Now, you have a website, I believe, that you can tell people to visit to get a feel for your books and yourself and your travels?
Yeah. The website is www.caridiangroup.com. Caridian is the first four letters of Caribbean and the last four letters of Canadian. And that's sort of self-explanatory. But actually, if you Google Wanderings and Sojourns, which is the series of books.
Okay.
The first two pages that come up on Google are all my stuff.
Your links.
And that'll take you to the website, take you to the Facebook page, take you to everything I've got on the web just about.
That's right. That's right. Because I did spend some time at your website, and that's where I found out that you're quite traveled. And two circumnavigations, over 100,000 miles at sea. And then that little one helped found kids in this. Kids in the Sea?
Yeah. It's a program in the British Virgin Islands. It was sponsored by the Rotary Club, which I was actually founding vice president of the second Rotary Club in the British Virgin Islands. And we found that a lot of the local kids were actually scared of the sea, which I think a lot of them inherited from their parents.
Okay.
And when you're scared of something, you disrespect it automatically. But it was about the biggest resource they had. It was all around them on these tiny islands. And there were fantastic career opportunities on the water, and we just thought that we needed to do something to turn that around.
Oh, that's right.
So the program's called CATS, K-A-T-S, stands for Kids in the Sea. It's still going strong, 20-some-odd years after we started it. And we've had so many graduates through there that have gone on to careers with oceanography, with natural resources.
That's amazing.
And it grew into, from the basic CATS program, it grew into a scuba diving program. The dive operators came on board and worked with us. Sailing, we've had kids in international regattas now. Some of them have become sailing instructors that started out from that program. So it's a wonderful program.
And I'll bet some of them are poets.
I would hope so.
So in all of this travel, tell me, how do you write poetry? When do you find time? Do you have a special place?
I find poetry tends to write itself.
Okay.
If I have to sit down and work to make a poem work, then it very often doesn't. The problem I have is very often keeping up with the words. Mm-hmm. So it's just a question of finding, you know, a half hour here, a half hour there. I actually, not so much nowadays, but I used to do a lot of people watching in pubs in the various places I'd go to around the world. I'd just sit in a corner.
Yep.
And of course, then with just a little notepad and pen, it's very easy to use that time to jot down a few things.
That's right. You'd get a lot of lovely ideas there, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Little snapshots. So you can write on the fly, obviously.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait till you come home from your travels and then sit down.
Typically, the work would need some polishing, and that's when you need a little bit of time to focus on it, just to, you know, take those forced rhymes out and you know, tweak it a little bit so that it flows and it sounds as it should sound.
Okay. Now, you're talking about flow, which leads me nicely into something you mentioned on your website, that you don't consider yourself a poet in the broad sense, but a lyrical...
There's so many genres of poetry.
Mm-hmm. You describe it well on that website.
Thank you. And to say I'm a poet, I think's a little bit presumptive, because I only really write lyrical verse. A lot of my work's been put to music, and a lot of it was actually written using tunes that other people had. Stan Rogers, good Canadian songwriter there.
So will you be singing later?
No. Trust me, you wouldn't want me to sing. But
I know that feeling, me too.
Mine all has structure. It's not, you know, boring old di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da stuff. Most poems are very different in their structure, but they've all got rhyme and meter. There's a discipline there that I think I need to stay on course, whereas open verse I've tried, haiku I've tried, but I've never satisfied myself with that at all. But my lyrical verse I'm quite happy with.
Well, I think we should hear something. Would you mind?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, talking about Stan Rogers, I'll... Just to give an indication of how I do write some of the stuff, this one was actually written to the Northwest Passage, which was probably one of his most famous songs that he did.
Okay, so the listeners can out there hum it in their heads.
Yeah,
okay.
So you can see the relationship between what I write and music. It's called Tomorrow's Past Life, and this is autobiographical, definitely.
Okay.
There was once a time when my life was filled with living, adventure and excitement scattered all across this earth. I was in my prime with so much just ripe for giving. To wander seemed the reason for my birth. But now my life has changed. I seldom travel 50 mile. Adventures turn to mortgage. Mine's a sedentary style. My freedom's now an office. Distance romance, an ex-wife. I have to find the path that leads me on to my old life so that just once more I can sail the endless ocean or track the old bull wildebeest and dive amongst the whales. Watch the condor soar. Change my plans on any notion to seek of lands heard in a stranger's tales. Is that so very much to ask? I've known it so before. The hunger and the plenty, forest, snow and desert shore, the laughter and the loneliness, the passions and the pain. Yet still there's lands I didn't see, and those I'd see again, if I found a way to undo these chains that bind me, not harming those I love, nor running from the debts I owe. I should leave today, going where no one could find me, not caring what I'd seek or where I'd go. But that's now how my dreams are made. Awake, I see the truth. The bank, the schools, the 8 to 5, so absent in my youth, now plot against my wanderlust, my yearning for the road, to hide the path I'm seeking that I once so freely strode. But there'll come a time when the house is bought and paid for, the kids are all through college and the pension's guaranteed. Then I'll start to climb back towards that life I'm made for, my chains released, my spirit once more freed. Though 20 years may lie between this moment and that day, it waits on the horizon as a cairn which points the way, a monument to travellers, emancipation's prize, a mark to set my compass bearing steady in my eyes, so that I can see that my life is far from finished, and some day I will live again adventures yet untold, where the wind and me, with a passion undiminished, will find that younger life I knew of old.
Mm. That's wonderful, Jim. Thank you. And you mentioned that you actually spoke with Stan's wife. So can you tell us that story?
Yes. Back in 1988, I think it was, down in the British Virgin Islands, I was part of a group that founded the search and rescue down there, Virgin Islands Search and Rescue, VISAR. And in a year later, when we were still a very fledgling organization, the largest hurricane ever to strike the Eastern Caribbean came barreling through and true to form, an awful lot of seafaring folks stayed with their boats during the storm, so I ran a radio net all the way through it. It turned into a Category 5 hurricane,
wow,
which is as big as they get. And I ran a radio station all the way through it and became the catalyst for the marine community during the storm. And at the end of it, we thought, well, we need funds for this new organization, so we decided to make a documentary about the hurricane.
Okay.
And a lot of people donated their tapes, their sound and video tapes, and we've strung it all together with a friend of mine who had a studio. And we needed a soundtrack for it. And we decided at the end, we wanted to end on an uplifting note, so we spoke about the recovery and showed footage of all the repairs being done and how the boats were coming back to life afterwards, and we decided to use Stan Rogers' Rise Again as the background for that. And so we needed permission to use it, so I ended up calling up Stan Rogers' wife up here in Canada, and delightful lady. She said, yes, certainly go ahead and use it. We just had to give the titles at the end of the video.
Right.
But very, very pleasant lady, very supportive of what we were trying to do.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Wonderful. And out of that, you get poetry as well.
Yes, I'd already sort of fallen in love with Stan Rogers' music by then, but certainly that enhanced my relationship with his music.
I'm torn between trying to talk about the books that aren't published yet and the poetry, because the books that Volume 1 and 2 that are coming out, you mentioned Volume 1 is close to publishing?
Volume 1 is just awaiting my signature, really, on telling the publishers to go ahead and print. I found 3 tweakages that I need them to do before they print. So
not bad at all.
That's how close we are.
That's very good.
And they're single-word tweakages, so it's like 2 minutes' work.
Easy. Yes. Now, those first 2 volumes are a combination of poetry and memoir?
That's it. There's 25 stories and 25 poems in each.
Okay. Oh, all right. 25 stories. And one of them deals with the Caribbean life?
The second one is called On Tropical Islands and Sparkling Seas, and it deals almost exclusively with my time in the Caribbean, which was 18 years, and many of my sailing stories as well, which a lot of them are very interesting.
Interesting. Yes, I can hardly wait to have those ones in the library as well. And by the way, folks, there will be a copy of the poetry book, Volume 3, in the library shortly. Now, before we go to a station break, can you do one more poem?
Sure. This is an abstract poem I wrote, and even though I've wrote it myself and have written it many, many times, I still don't know what it's about. So the reason I really like it is because everybody that's spoken to me about it has their own interpretation of it.
Okay, there's a challenge.
I think that's wonderful. So this one's for anybody that wants to put an interpretation to
it. Okay.
And it's called Never Try to Cage the Wandering Breeze. And the challenge is to decide what the wandering breeze actually means. Mm. Never try to cage the wandering breeze that blows with scented breath from distant lands. Never track its journey across the seas which brought it to your open, searching hands. Never ask how long it yet may stay to cool the burning turmoil of your past, or gently warm the cold where memories play on what was once a future that was destined not to last. Harness, though, its strength beneath your wings, that you may fly to heights born of your dreams. Hearken well the ancient words it sings, explaining why life's not the way it seems. Ride it to the lands that you desire, where fate had always barred your younger road, by turning dreams into the raging fire which scorched the very footfalls where your love and hope once strode. Wonder at the places it has been, though ask not that you know where it may go. Study well the lessons it has seen, that you may understand what they may show. Ask for just this instant to be shared, that always past and future may be free. And never let your spirit once be scared, should ever it depart to cross again that endless sea. Hold it gently in your open hand. Embrace its warmth. Caress its gentle smile. Know that it will quietly understand and satisfy your yearnings for a while. Until the tides or seasons turn again, and calls from distant lands are growing strong, to leave where it may long to yet remain, to go where, like your open hands, it never will belong. Never try to cage the wandering breeze that blows with scented breath to distant lands. Never track its journey across the seas which takes it from your open, loving hands. Never ask how long it may be gone, or where its wayward journey may be cast. Walk the road its love placed you upon, for there will lie your future that is destined now to last. Never try to cage the wandering breeze, nor track its endless journey across the freedom of the seas. Never try to close your open hands, for then it may return to you as destiny commands.
Mm. I think that has a feeling of the process of life. So I suppose, yeah, each individual would bring their own experience to it. Okay, we're going to go to a station break, and then I want to come back and ask, how does such a poem come into being?